wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
Well, Jeff, you know, I timed my trip to Europe so I wouldn't miss anything. You know, and in the last week, nothing's happened. I don't know what we're going to talk about today, other than Kirk Cousins leaving the Vikings, signing with Atlanta, Danielle Hunter leaving the Vikings, signing with Houston, the division becoming even more competitive with the Bears looking like they know what they're doing, getting Keenan Allen. Good Lord, what a whirlwind I missed. And since I was out of town for it and you were here studying all of it, just start off here with your first impressions, what really struck you and what kind of shape are the Vikings in at the moment?
Yeah, I think, as you said, the start of free agency always is a whirlwind. And it seems like this year, more than in recent years for the Vikings, and you have to take it all in totality, of course, and there's still time for the Vikings to make more moves and figure things out at quarterback and try to maneuver themselves into a position where they perhaps can draft a J.J. McCarthy, because I just personally don't have a lot of faith in Sam Darnold that he's going to be the savior here. And as we've talked about for the last couple of months, I thought that the best move for the team currently would be to re-sign Cousins. Obviously, it's kind of fascinating to me, Jim, and you and I talked about this, and I not to toot my own horn, but I nailed the contract basically when I said it was going to be $45 million a year, which is exactly what it is. And the fact that I said the first 2 years would be guaranteed at $90 million, which is exactly what happened. And then they threw in another $10 million guarantee Atlanta did in year three. So, yeah, this is a deal that the Vikings clearly could have done. What we don't know is how much Cousins perhaps wanted to have a fresh start in Atlanta, where his wife Julie is from, how unwilling the Vikings were to even go to that $90 million for the first 2 years in guaranteed money. And I'm not sure we'll ever find, I'm sure someday we'll hear what exactly the Vikings had offered. But it just seems like in the final analysis that they really wanted to move on and reset that quarterback salary clock as their overriding goal in regard to Cousins' contract. Or they would have got a deal done last year or in January or February. You knew when it got to the weekend before the start of the quote-unquote legal tampering period, they were not going to keep him. And so where do they sit now, as we said, with Darnold on a one-year $10 million deal? I don't think he's the answer. He's already flamed out at the Jets and the Panthers. And unless Kyle Shanahan worked wonders with him last year, we'll see how he does. He could be that bridge quarterback that we talk about. But I think it's really critical for the franchise that they draft a guy in the first round. And I just don't have a lot of confidence that once you get past the first three guys, Caleb Williams and Drake May and Jaden Daniels, that I don't have a lot of confidence that J.J. McCarthy is going to make it to number 11. And so I think that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah has got to figure out a way to get up a little bit higher to where he could grab McCarthy if that's the guy that O'Connell likes. Now, hey, we don't know. Maybe O'Connell likes Bo Nix better from Oregon. Maybe he likes Michael Penix better, who's been an injury guy. But McCarthy just seems like a guy who's got a lot of buzz. And I think that if the Vikings drafted J.J. McCarthy in the first round, I think that the fan base and the media, I think everybody would be on board with, okay, yeah, Cousins was really expensive. Maybe it was time to reset that clock. Hope they can get lucky and get a really impactful rookie quarterback. Hard to say it's going to be Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson, what they did on their rookie contracts. But, hey, perhaps it was time to move on. I just think for the short term, the best move was to re-sign Cousins. They didn't get it done. Now the pressure is really on. And I'm talking about both Kwesi and Kevin O'Connell. the pressure is really on to identify the right quarterback in this draft and go get him.
No doubt. Jeff said he didn't want to toot his own horn. I'll toot it for him. He's Jeff Diamond, former Vikings general manager, former president of the Tennessee Titans. Been on this network, TalkNorth.com, for a long time now. Gives you great insight and analysis into how front offices actually work, how the salary cap actually works. And, you know, Jeff, I thought we laid out a great plan for the Vikings a couple months ago. They just decided not to take it. And I think they might regret not taking the plan that you laid out and that I agreed with. Want to let you know that we are brought to you by White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. Thanks for listening. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio. And want to let you know that we have lots of good stuff at TalkNorth.com. We have the best sports lineup in town, best outdoor lineup in town. Variety shows. Check it out. If you like a show, including this one, please subscribe at your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. Well, we have a lot to talk about here, but let's stay on the quarterbacks for a little bit before we get to Danielle Hunter and some of the incoming players. I think you and I both said, and you laid out the numbers in great detail, that the best way for this team to continue to be a contender, continue to have a chance to win the division and get into the playoffs was sign Cousins to exactly the deal you mentioned, keep Danielle Hunter, structure their deals in a way that allowed you to get a deal done with Justin Jefferson. All those deals would have led them to actually have more salary cap space in this year and the next. Instead, they went the other way. They let Cousins leave. They let Hunter leave. Where are they now in terms of the cap? How much money do they have spent in free agency? And you know, we already talked about the effect of losing Cousins. How much does the loss of Hunter hurt them?
Yeah, I think it sounds like they've got about $20 million of cap room left after signing Jonathan Greenard from Houston, Andrew Van Ginkle, who could be a really underrated signing, comes from Miami, and Blake Cashman, who I think will be an impactful linebacker and an upgrade athletically over Jordan Hicks. And so I think that they, cap-wise, they've got some room to make some more moves. And I think it's really critical, besides, as we talked about already, identifying the right college quarterback and then trading up to get him. It's really risky to sit at number 11, but I think that they really need to hit free agency now. And this is kind of, we're getting to the second wave of free agency, more or less, and go get some veteran corners who can play. And I'm sure that Brian Flores is very happy to get Van Ginkle, who was in Miami when he was Flores was the head coach there and Van Ginkle was drafted. He's a very versatile guy, very underrated free agent signing. I think he's going to be a player that Flores wanted more than DJ wanted. Now, I'm not saying that he wanted Greenard more than Danielle Hunter, because that's kind of foolish talk concerning their career production. Although Greenard is 3 years younger, he did have 12 and a half sacks last year. He's a very quick step pass rusher, but he's also battled some injury problems in his career. So it's a little bit of a concern, obviously, to lose a player like Hunter, who's your best player on defense. That's a concern. But I think that they've reacted fairly well in the signings that they've made on defense. I think they really fairly desperately need some veteran corners that can play. And I'm thinking about some of these maybe bargain-type corners. Maybe it's a Tre'Davious White from Buffalo, who they could get on a cheap one-year deal, as he's come off a couple of major injuries. I think he had an Achilles last year, had an ACL a few years ago, but he was an all-pro and a Pro Bowl player. Do you bring back Patrick Peterson? I'm not so sure that's a great idea. At this stage, he's probably too old. But there's some guys. Nelson from the Texans had 4 interceptions, 12 passes defense last year. He's on the market still. There are some veteran corners that they can go get. And I think they really need to do that, as opposed to trusting a Caleb Evans and Mekhi Blackmon and Andrew Booth Jr. Unless they get a severe development progress in the next 6 months before the season starts, I think that's very dangerous to count on those guys. I think they've got some talent, but wow, just they were so costly to the Vikings down the stretch last year when the pass rush started to get a little weaker after Wanham got hurt. So, yeah, I think that there are some really good things that happened for the Vikings after the Cousins departure. And I'm thinking specifically of Aaron Jones and what a potentially great signing that is. And I always, as a GM, Jim, I always love to sign free agents from division rivals because it's a double whammy. You can strengthen your team and you can potentially weaken one of your big rivals in the process. Now, yeah, Josh Jacobs is a really good running back, led the league in rushing a couple of years ago, but he's not better than Aaron Jones if Aaron Jones can stay healthy. Aaron Jones was a huge part of that big Packers winning streak at the end of the season last year that took him to the divisional playoff round. He had five straight 100-yard games once he got over his injuries from the middle of the season. So if they can keep Aaron Jones healthy, figure out that hamstring situation, he's a big addition. He's an upgrade over Alexander Mattison. He'd be a great 1-2 punch with Ty Chandler. And so, and then up front, you talk about Tillery comes from the Raiders. Maybe he can help be better than what Dean Lowry gave them last year. But getting back to Hunter and Grenard specifically, you're getting a guy for $5.5 million a year cheaper, 3 years younger, but it's hard to see Grenard being better than Daniil or as impactful with a guy that had 16.5 sacks and led the league with 23 tackles for loss, played the run so great. Now, Grenard can play the run too. Maybe he makes a big step here. We'll see, and maybe Daniil doesn't stay healthy again. That has been a concern. But I still think that's a huge loss. And, yeah, I think they got maybe one of the next best guys in Grenard. I think Van Ginkle is a very underrated signing that will be a great chess piece for Flores. But they've got to address the cornerback situation. They've got to get a good offensive guard in here, whether that's re-signing Reisner or getting somebody else on the market. It's been a big market for guards, and they're cashing in. Guys like Lewis and Hunt going to Carolina to help Bryce Young. The Vikings need to make a score at that guard spot, and they need to make some headway with the cornerbacks, then figure out that quarterback situation, and they could be in decent shape. But right now, their division rivals are doing some pretty good things in free agency. Although I will say this, Jim, the Vikings have to be thrilled that Danielle Hunter did not wind up in Chicago or Detroit.
Oh, very true.
Because there was a very good chance that could have happened, and I'm sure the Lions were kicking the tires on trying to sign Hunter, and they wind up with Marcus Davenport. Hey, they can have him because that was a big mistake the Vikings made last year for $13 million, and he's still costing them, I think, $6-something on as a dead cap hit. Now the Lions put another $6.5 million into the guy who has not stayed healthy for 2 years. It's almost, as we talked about before, that cardinal rule in free agency. Don't sign players who are injury prone, who are getting later in their career. Now the Bears have done that with Keenan Allen, but you're talking about a six-time Pro Bowler. You're talking about a guy who had 108 catches last year, but he did miss four games. So that's the danger with Keenan Allen. But how dangerous is it? How dangerous is it when you give up a fourth round pick for a 6-time Pro Bowler? I think that's worth the risk. And you think about Keenan Allen and DJ Moore together. Wow.
Yeah, let's get more into the division because I think the Vikings are really facing an uphill climb at this point, unless they just absolutely ace a rookie quarterback who can transform the roster. Let's get into that. We want to remind you we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios, thanks to Aquarius Home Services, and we want to hear more about White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. The White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, with my great friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, general manager, Charlie Guttrell, their fantastic staff. Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and their super friendly premium team. Check out their great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. Early spring deals, 1.9% APR for 36 months, plus a $750 purchase allowance and an additional $2,500 trade assistance on 2023 and 2024 GMC Sierra 1500s, 0.9% APR and $2,750 purchase allowance and a $750 additional purchase allowance on 2023 Buick Envisions, 0.9% APR, and a $1,500 purchase allowance on 2024 GMC Terrains, plus no monthly payments for 90 days on these great vehicles. The White Bear Lake Superstore also is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. They are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. Visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
And if you'd like to advertise with or sponsor Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, you can reach our sales executive, Karen Cleary, at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y, talknorth.com. We do appreciate everybody listening. Thank you. So let's get to the division. I think the Vikings are in real danger of being a last place team in this division.
That could happen, Jim, okay. But it could also go the other way. We've seen it happen time and again in the NFL that teams that are talked down can rise up, which the Vikings did 2 years ago when they won 13 games. And I think their coaching staff is still excellent. I think that if they can make the right move, the right decisions at quarterback, that I think is the critical factor this season. Sam Darnold, I don't believe is going to get you to the playoffs, but maybe he could be that bridge quarterback for a couple of games here or there early on while they get a J.J. McCarthy or a Penix or a Nix ready to go. Or maybe they'd make a big move into the top three and get Drake May or Jaden Daniels. That would be very expensive for the future. And so perhaps the better call is to move up a few spots and try to grab McCarthy. But that's risky, as we said. I think that you look at the division, and as I said, I think it could have been worse for the Vikings in what's happened in free agency, considering how much cap space Detroit and Chicago had. Green Bay was the tightest in the division against the cap. They added Josh Jacobs. They lost Aaron Jones. That may be a wash. They lose John Runyon, a good guard. They sign a really good safety in Xavier McKinney to replace Darnell Savage. Otherwise, not much in Green Bay. Detroit adds DJ Reader from Cincinnati. Again, injury-prone, older defensive tackle, very talented, but he's missed a lot of time in the last few years. They lost a good guard off that great offensive line in Jonah Jackson going to the Rams. And then they trade for a corner, Carlton Davis from the Bucks. He's been up and down in his career. As I said, they didn't get Danielle Hunter or Jonathan Greenard. They signed Marcus Davenport. I think that's a mistake. I think Detroit has really not done much to help themselves, considering how much cap room they had. Now, again, it's still relatively early in free agency. The Bears are the team that I think has made some really positive strides with the Keenan Allen trade for such a pittance of a fourth-round pick. And I think that, again, you talk about what else have they done. Well, they haven't been able to trade Justin Fields yet, and the quarterback trade market seems to be perhaps drying up as these other teams are moving some of these quarterbacks around, whether it's Jacoby Brissett to New England, whether it's whoever, Drew Lock to the Giants, and Jameis Winston goes to Cleveland. And so there's just been several quarterback moves. Sam Howell, I thought that was a really curious trade by Washington, sending him to Seattle. And then, of course, the Russell Wilson move to Pittsburgh takes out another team that was in the running, and Cousins to Atlanta, another team that was one of the rumored spots for Justin Fields. So what are the Bears going to do? I think they're still going to trade him, but they may not get as much as they had hoped to get. And they've added some pretty good players. DeAndre Swift's been injury-prone running back. Kevin Byers, older safety now, was a former Pro Bowler in Tennessee. Didn't do much at Philly last year. I think they added a really good tight end in Gerald Everett from the Chargers, and now he'll team up with Cole Kmet, who's a rising star tight end for the Bears. So the Bears have done some things, but with all the cap room that these teams had, again, it could have been worse for the Vikings. But the Keenan Allen move, I think, is the biggest move in the division. And that's really a player who could make a huge impact. And you can't think the Vikings are thrilled to see Keenan Allen come into the NFC North after he torched them last season. 18 catches, 215 yards. And remember, he threw a 49-yard touchdown pass to Mike Williams, in that game. Keenan Allen was unbelievable that day. And that can't make Justin Herbert very happy, by the way, to lose Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, who they cut both of those guys because of their severe salary cap problems. But the Bears were in a position to pounce on it, and they did with Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I think Keenan Allen could be a nightmare for other teams in this division. He's just so smart, so savvy. He's going to be great for whoever the quarterback there is, likely Caleb Williams. So, and by the way, we'll be heavily previewing the draft here in the next month or so, because the draft is going to be so important to the Vikings. It's always fascinating, but now it's absolutely vital. And let's face it, Kwesi has not had two very good drafts so far, and now he needs to really have a big winner. Do you have a, at this point, do you have a favorite quarterback prospect who might be available to the Vikings, or should we wait for another day for that?
Well, I think we're going to be talking about that for the next month, yep, really, before the draft. And as I said, the guy who I think is really intriguing is McCarthy. He's only 20 years old. He's a rising athletic quarterback. I think he's a guy that could really make inroads in the league over time. How quick he can adjust to the NFL, to the speed of the league, well, we'll see. I mean, he is a guy, he certainly had to play against some good teams as Michigan won the national championship. He's a winner. And right now, I would say he's the guy that is the more likely target. Because as I said, to get up in the top three, and certainly Jaden Daniels, what an athletic guy he is, could be the next Lamar Jackson. Drake May, a big arm guy, more like a Justin Herbert. They're not going to get Caleb Williams, and I'm not sure they want Caleb Williams. I think there are a lot of red flags on that guy in terms of the decision-making he's making pre-draft, but obviously he's a talent. So it seems like McCarthy could be the guy, but again, we'll be talking more about this as we go on. They've got to get somebody, and I'd be a little wary of Michael Penix with all his injuries, and he's 24 years old. Not that that's old for a quarterback. Bo Nix, he could be a guy that maybe they perhaps draft another player in the first round. Could be an edge rusher, could be a top corner, and then maybe move up in the second round and get a Bo Nix. So if that's the guy that O'Connell likes, hey, that could work out too. Doesn't have to be a first round quarterback, but I think the odds are improved if you get that guy.
No doubt. Let's wrap up the show with just a look at flashy free agent signings around the league. Jumps out at me is, even though we don't value running backs the way we might not have once valued them, Derrick Henry to the Ravens, Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, they strike me as moves that could pay big dividends.
Yeah, I think both of those that you mentioned were among the biggest moves in free agency. And the fact that Derrick Henry goes to Baltimore, what a perfect fit he is for the Ravens. And that running game to help Lamar Jackson take a little pressure off him. I think he's a great, great signing by a very smart organization. Saquon is a guy that is a little bit more risky injury-wise. And the Eagles, again, going within the division, take him away from one of their rivals. Saquon, I think, could be a fantastic player in Philadelphia with a really good offensive line if he can stay healthy. That's always the key. I thought one of the really fascinating situations around the league was the Calvin Ridley signing by the Titans to team him with DeAndre Hopkins and steal him away from Jacksonville. The Jaguars thought they had him all wrapped up, and they had this weird deal in their trade with Atlanta where they had to wait until the first day of the league year to sign him to a long-term deal, or they would have owed Atlanta a second-round pick instead of a third-round pick. Well, as it turned out, Tennessee swoops in, signs a good young receiver, but he's been a little inconsistent. So we'll see how that one plays out. And he got a big deal at $22 million a year, which I'm sure Justin Jefferson's happy about, because that just inflates his value even more, over $30 million a year. I thought some of the other big moves around the league, Washington has signed some good players to help a downtrodden franchise. Bobby Wagner going there, he's ageless, led the league in tackles last year. I think he's a great signing. As I said, the Howell trade to Seattle was kind of weird, but it certainly clears the deck for a rookie quarterback. And maybe they just figured, we don't want Sam Howell here thinking he should be the starter after he threw for almost 4,000 yards. But he had 21 interceptions to lead the league, and he wasn't going to be the guy there, but maybe he thought he was going to be the guy there. But they signed Dorrance Armstrong, good pass rusher from Dallas, again, taking a guy from within the division, Frankie Louvu, a really good linebacker from Carolina, Austin Eckler, who's got talent, if he can stay healthy as a running back. They stole the Cowboys starting center. So Washington's making a lot of moves, and they had a lot of money to do it. I thought the Chiefs keeping Chris Jones and adding Marquise Brown, how smart are they? And how savvy are the Kansas City Chiefs to figure out a way to keep Chris Jones, their best defensive player, on a really good defense, and then they get Mahomes a speed receiver that he needed in Marquise Brown. Got to tip your hat to the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl champs. And I'll tell you one other move that I thought was kind of humorous, Jim, in looking around the league. Eric Kendricks, our former friend from the Vikings, Pro Bowl linebacker here, and went to the Chargers last year, still had 100 tackles again. But the Chargers so messed up with the cap and had to let Allen go, Williams go, had to restructure Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. And Eric Kendricks was a cap casualty there. He's not the same player he was here with the Vikings. He's lost a step. We know that. But how about him signing? First of all, he was supposed to sign with the 49ers. He bolts from them and ends up signing in Dallas with Mike Zimmer, the new defensive coordinator, who Kendricks criticized more or less when Zimmer left by saying, there shouldn't be a fear-based organization here. And he ends up in Dallas. I think that is hysterical.
Let's get a final thought from Jeff. Once again, thank you to Aquarius Home Services. Thanks to White Bear Lake Superstore. Thank you for listening. Again, if you like the show, please subscribe at your favorite podcast app and check out TalkNorth.com for all our other shows, including the Viking Update Show. All right, Jeff, final thought for today.
Well, other than go get some corners, Kwesi, I would say my final thought is on Blake Cashman. And I love the guy. He's one of our clients at IFA, so obviously I'm biased. But he's a former Gopher, comes back home, Eden Prairie High School, homegrown. What a great story he is to come back here after a 100-tackle season, had some injury issues early in his career. He overcame them. He ends up calling the defenses for D'Amico Ryans in Houston, who's a really smart coach. And Blake Cashman, highly intelligent player, very athletic linebacker, can play the run and the pass. He's an every-down player. And as I said, I think he's an upgrade over Jordan Hicks, who did some really good things here, but it does not have the speed at linebacker. Asamoah, the Vikings seem to have lost confidence in. Ivan Pace Jr. and Blake Cashman at inside linebacker, I like that duo. And so it's going to be, I think, a very kind of fun defense to watch with all these new faces and with Flores pulling the strings on the defense. If he can find some corners, I think the defense may be even better than last year when they improved dramatically over 2022. So that's something to watch, is that Vikings defense going forward. But we're going to talk a lot more about the quarterbacks, Jim, and that's the big enchilada for the Vikings going forward over the next month.
No doubt this show we do year-round because the offseason tends to be even more fascinating than the regular season. So check in next week for Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider.